I mean, life is like that.
Sidney, put that paintbrush down, please. Look out, Dolores. Well, Sidney, that wasn't a very good shot, was it? Now, don't tell me you meant to put it down her ear hole, because I simply don't... Well, you shouldn't have meant to. No, it's all right, Dolores, dear. You're not hurt. You're just surprised. But I think you'll have to have another little wash. Well, because you've got rather a blue ear. That's right. Now, will you please say you're sorry, Sidney, to Dolores? Go on. Go and give her a nice kiss. Don't kick him. He's come to kiss you. Lavinia, dear, is that your coat you've got on? Well, it looks so enormous. Oh, you're going to grow into it. I see. Oh, thank you, Hazel, dear. You are my helper, aren't you? Thank you for getting Betty into her little zip jacket. Now, just zip her up once. Don't undo it again. No, Neville, dear, you can't have a turn. No, children, you can't all zip Betty. Now, leave her alone. Joni, when we have been to the little room next door, what do? We pull our knickers up again. We leave her in early training.
Joyce Grenfell, it's very important to have good manners. This is the Reverend E.J. Hardy, writing in 1887.
Good manners are nothing less than little morals. They are the shadows of virtues, if not virtues themselves.
And it's in the pursuit of good manners that elaborate forms of etiquette have been evolved. Here, from an 1836 volume entitled Hints on Etiquette and the Usages of Society with a Glance at Bad Habits, is a wonderfully snobbish definition.
Etiquette is the barrier which society draws around itself as a protection against offences the law cannot touch. A shield against the intrusion of the impertinent, the improper, and the vulgar. A guard against those obtuse persons who, having neither talent nor delicacy, would be continually thrusting themselves into the society of men to whom their presence might, from the difference of feeling and habit, be offensive and even insupportable.
That book is full of tips and all kinds of fine points of etiquette, including table manners. Here's something that's useful to know.
It is considered vulgar to take fish or soup twice.
In your life. And here are some more tips on table manners, this time from the 1913 Manners and Rules of Good Society, written by a member of the aristocracy.
Ladies are not supposed to require a second glass of wine at dessert.
Peas should be eaten with a fork.
Jellies, blancmanges, ice pudding, etc. should be eaten with a fork, as should be all sweets sufficiently substantial to admit of it.
It's almost incredible, you know, with so much advice on how to do the right thing, that some people persist in doing the wrong thing. An anonymous limerick.
There was a young lady of Tottenham who'd no manners, or else she'd forgotten them. At tea at the vicar's, she took off her knickers because, she explained, she felt hot in them.
Having tea at the vicar's, or having the vicar to tea, both seem to be social occasions which put great stress on people's politeness.
Have a crumpet, vicar.
No. Thank you, Mr. Hancock. I'm having quite a struggle with what I've got on my plate already.
Anyone else? William, a crumpet may happen. Yes. Yes, what? Yes, I want a crumpet. Yes, please. Not with your hands and your plate up. And drop it in the winkles if you're not careful. Sidney, my dear friend, I've been neglecting you. Another crumpet.
No, thanks, mate. The butter keeps disappearing down the aisles. Marlotta, you think there's none on it? Take a bite and whoosh all over your tie. I tell you what, I'll have some winkles. Some of your tie pin.
There is a winkle pin on the table. Show a bit of etiquette in front of his reverence. I don't want him to think this is an ignorant household.
A piece of French cream sandwich, Vicar.
Well, don't offer him the cardboard box. Take it out and put it on the cake stand. What do you think it's there for? Wipe the salmon bones off it. Use it for its proper purpose. I must apologize for my acquaintances, Vicar, only we're not used to having company. They don't know how to conduct themselves at a meal table like what gents as how you and I are do.
I think nothing of it, Mr. Hancock. After all, manners maketh not the man. We are judged by actions, not by our demeanor.
Yes, quite. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, I'm no snob. It's just that I think that if people expect to sit down at high-class tables, they can at least take the trouble to learn how to conduct themselves in a proper and mannerly fashion. You're not having any more tea. Can I pour my grouts in your cup?
Yes, of course.
May I tempt you with some more fish paste?
Well, I...
It's sardine and anchovy. Yes. None of the old rubbish like we had at your fete the other...
There's Tony Hancock, of course, with Kenneth Williams, Sid James, Bill Kerr and Hattie Jakes. The behaviour of British at meals is something which drew this comment from George Mikesh.
On the continent, people have good food. In England, people have good manners.
And good manners in England seem often to consist simply of avoiding confrontation. Here's a report from The Observer.
Is there any question of unpleasantness, said his lordship, one would, of course, prefer to employ an agent to deal with it. One would not want to shout at anyone oneself.
Another demonstration of our national restraint was observed by Margaret Halsey.
The English never smash in a face. They merely refrain from asking it to dinner.
Yes, English politeness has always made it difficult for an Englishman to refuse something to someone. However hopeless the situation, an Englishman will always try to avoid directly saying the word no.
Mr. Spigot, you are auditioning, are you not, for the part of Tarzan?
Right.
Mr. Spigot, I couldn't help noticing, almost at once, you are a one-legged person.
You noticed that.
When you've been in the business as long as I have, Mr. Spigot, you get to notice these little things almost instinctively. Now, Mr. Spigot, you, a one-legged man, are applying for the role of Tarzan.
Right.
A role that traditionally involves the use of a two-legged actor.
True.
And yet you, a unidexter, for the role.
Definitely.
A role for which two legs would seem to be the minimum requirement. Well, Mr. Spigot, need I point out to you where your deficiency lies as regards landing the role?
Yes, I think you ought to.
Need I say with overmuch emphasis that it is in the leg division that you are deficient.
The leg division?
The leg division, Mr. Spigot.
The leg division.
The leg division. You are deficient in it to the tune of one. Your right leg, I like. I like your right leg. It's a lovely leg for the role. That's what I said when I saw it come in. I said... for the role. I've got nothing against your right leg. The trouble is, neither have you. You fall down on your left.
You mean it's inadequate?
It's inadequate, Mr. Spigot. To my mind, at any rate, the British public is not yet ready. For the sight of a one-legged ape man swinging through the jungle tendrils. Don't despair, Mr. Spigot. After all, you score over a man with no legs at all. I mean, should a legless man come in here demanding the role, I should have no hesitation in saying, get out, run away.
There is still a chance.
There is still a very good chance, Mr. Spigot. If we get no two-legged character actors in here within the next 18 months, there is every chance that you, a unidexter, will be the very type of person we shall probably, in some way, be attempting at some time to contact telephonically.
Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. Of course, the customs of foreigners have always been different from those of the British. Still, it's only polite for us to be tolerant of national differences. And certainly, when foreigners come to England, it's only our duty to explain to them our own particular customs.
You will oblige your chambermaid by hanging your mattress out of the window every morning. All London brothels display a blue lamp. Ignore all left and right signs. These are merely political slogans. Zebra parking places provided everywhere. Have you tried the famous echo in the reading room of the British Museum? entering a railway compartment, make sure to shake hands with all the passengers.
Gerard Hoffman. Politeness is one of the qualities which is supposed to distinguish a gentleman. Many people have tried to define the mysterious ingredients that make someone deserve that title. Lord Chesterfield, needless to say, had a view on the subject.
The manner of a vulgar man has freedom without ease. The manner of a gentleman has ease without freedom.
William Lyon Phelps.
This is the final test of a gentleman, his respect for those who can be of no possible service to him.
A more complex definition from the Reverend Richard Cecil.
When two goats met on a bridge which was too narrow to allow either to pass or return, the goat which laid down that the other might walk over it was a finer gentleman than Lord Chesterfield.
Norman Douglas on the subject.
Whoever wants to save time is not fit for the society of gentlemen.
Let's have three more quick definitions. First, from Austin O'Malley.
A gentleman has never heard a story before.
We need them in our audience. From H.L. Mencken.
A gentleman is a man who never strikes a woman without provocation.
And finally, a classic schoolboy howler.
A gentleman is a man who gives up his seat to a lady in a public convenience.
And, of course, a gentleman is someone who's tolerant of all people, whatever their race, colour or creed. Such liberal attitudes can be encouraged by special events like National Brotherhood Week.
During National Brotherhood Week, various special events are arranged to drive home the message of brotherhood. This year, for example, on the first day of the week, Malcolm X was killed, which gives you an idea of how effective the whole thing is. I'm sure we all agree that we ought to love one another. And I know there are people in the world who do not love their fellow human beings, and I hate people like that. Here's a song about National Brotherhood Week. Oh, the white folks hate the black folks, and the black folks hate the white folks. To hate all but the right folks is an old established rule, but during National Brotherhood Week, National Brotherhood Week, Lena Horne and Sheriff Clark are dancing cheek to cheek. It's fun to eulogize the people you despise, as long as you don't let them in your school. Oh, the poor folks hate the rich folks, and the rich folks hate the poor folks. All of my folks hate all of your folks. It's American as apple pie, but during National Brotherhood Week, National Brotherhood Week, New Yorkers love the Puerto Ricans cause it's very chic. Step up and shake the hand of someone you can't stand. You can tolerate him if you try. Protestants hate the Catholics, and the Catholics hate the Protestants, and the Hindus hate the Muslims, and everybody hates the Jews. But during National Brotherhood Week, National Brotherhood Week, it's National Everyone Smile at One Anotherhood Week. Be nice to people who are inferior to you. It's only for a week, so have no fear. Be grateful that it doesn't last all year.
Was Tom Lehrer. Actually, you have to be careful of the timing of campaigns like that. A report from the Bedfordshire Times.
In the same week the nationwide Be a Good Neighbour campaign was launched by the government, Bedfordshire police are issuing a warning to the county's elderly. Don't let any stranger in your house.
Of course, the higher you go up the social scale, the more complicated becomes the business of politeness and protocol. Books of etiquette are full of proper forms of address. And meeting royalty is like stepping over a minefield of potential gaffes. Some of the subtleties when dealing with foreign royalty are very fine. Charles Lamb.
To address an abdicated monarch is a nice point of breeding. To give him his lost titles is to mock him. To withhold him is to wound him.
A useful tip for manners and rules of good society.
No Indian prince is considered to be a blood royal, and they do not stand in the line at levees and courts.
And here's an extract from a letter sent by the heralds of the College of Arms to a hostess who was anxious about seating arrangements for a party to which she'd invited the Aga Khan.
The Aga Khan is held by his followers to be the direct descendant of God. An English duke takes precedence.
It's fortunate that there are instructions to sort out such ticklish points of etiquette. It's also perhaps fortunate that there are institutions to maintain a proper level of politeness in radio programs.
It's great to be with you tonight. We have a...
Pardon me, Mr. Freeberg, but my name is Tweedley.
Well, we all have our problems.
I am the censor from the Citizens Radio Committee, and, I feel...
You, from the Citizens Radio Committee, you say?
It's exactly what I said, yes.
And what is your purpose in being here?
I must okay all the material used on your program here, and I think the best method is to just sit back here and interrupt when I feel it's necessary.
You mean you plan to stop me every time I do something that you think is wrong?
Exactly. I'll just sound my little horn like this. And then you stop, and I'll tell you what's wrong.
Somehow I can tell this is going to be one of those days.
You just go right ahead, Mr. Freeberg. Don't mind me.
Yeah. Now I'd like to say...
You forgot to say thank you, Mr. Freeberg. Politeness is an essential in radio programming. Your program goes into the home. We must be a good influence on children.
And that's a darling little horn there. Thanks very much, Mr. Tweedley.
You're welcome, I am sure.
I'd like to sing a old river song in honor this week of National Mississippi Riverboat Paddle Wheel Week. Mr. May, if you please.
Very polite, Mr. Freeberg.
Thank you.
Old Man River, that old...
All right, Tweedley, polite as I dig, but what in the world is wrong with Old Man River?
The word old has a connotation some of the more elderly people find distasteful. I would suggest you make the substitution, please.
I suppose you insist?
Precisely. You may continue.
Okay, music.
You forgot to say thank you.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Mr. Tweedley.
You're quite welcome, I am sure.
Elderly Man River, Elderly Man River, he must know something, but he don't say nothing.
All right, hold it, fellas. Now what, Tweedley?
The word something, you left off the G.
That's authentic. Something. Something. That's the way the people talk down there.
The home is a classroom, Mr. Freeberg.
I know you said that.
Keep in mind the tiny tots. And furthermore, think back. You'll recall that you said, but he don't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, really, Mr. Freeberg, that's a double negative. Do you mean he does say something?
No, I just wasn't using my head, I guess.
I mean, after all, it should be grammatically correct, keeping in mind
the tiny tots, yes.
You probably mean he doesn't say anything.
I suppose I mean that, yes, I guess. All right, fine, you win. All right, Billy, music. Thank you.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
Elderly Man River, that Elderly Man River, he must know something, but he doesn't say anything. He just keeps rolling, rolling. He just keeps rolling along. He doesn't plant taters, potatoes. He doesn't plant cotton, cotting. And them, these, those that plant them are soon forgotting. But Elderly Man River,
excellent.
Thank you.
You and I, we sweat, perspire, and strain. Body's always in men wreck with pain.
Well, we got by that one.
Hold that part. Lift the field. You can't out and
take your finger off the button, Mr. Tweedley. We know when we're linked. Well, that concludes Elderly Man River. Oh, yes, and thank you for being with us, Mr. Tweedley.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
Stan Freeberg. Who more or less concludes our investigation into politeness? But let's finish with a little poem from the primary school. This is the polite thing to say if you have the misfortune to burp in public.
Pardon me for being so rude. It wasn't me, it was my food. It just came up to say hello, and now it's gone back down below.
Next week, we'll be looking at the obverse side of politeness and going into rudeness. Until then, from Alfred and me, good night. And Alfred, I thought you were absolutely excellent.
You said that beautifully. It's so nice of you.
No, it's most kind.
Great joy. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, really, thank you.
Frank Muir Goes Into Politeness was written by Frank Muir and Simon Brett. The program was produced by Pete Atkin. ¶¶